Discover connection. Awaken sacredness. Become empowered. Join us for our show on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Discover Your Spiritual Gifts Live, show number 36. We're your hosts, Dave,
Jason,
and Violet.
Our guest today is Debbie Solaris. Debbie is an ET contactee, interdimensional travel, and galactic historian. After a fateful extraterrestrial contact experience a few years ago, Debbie awakened to her true star lineage and higher callings. Through her ancestral connection with the Akashic Records, she has been receiving downloads of galactic historical information and universal spiritual knowledge ever since. She feels that it's a big part of her mission while here on Earth to help awaken others to their own true divine selves and cosmic origins. Welcome, Debbie. Thank you for being on the show.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, listeners. I'm happy to be on the show. Thank you for having me. And I'm just excited to be sharing this beautiful Colorado day with all of you.
Well, help us understand a little bit more about your background. You certainly have a fascinating background. How did you find out all about this and discover who and what you are, and what does that look like now?
That's always a good opening question. So, I actually started off as a very unawakened, unaware, ordinary human being that didn't really have any, I guess, inclinations towards metaphysics or the paranormal at all. Definitely not anything about aliens. Okay, so I started off. I'm actually a military veteran. I was in the Navy for 6 years. Then I spent most of my career as an environmental health specialist. Worked for various counties in Arizona. I think I spent some years in Arizona, and then I spent most of my career here in Colorado. I was very much, very matter of fact, business-minded, professional person. I actually didn't get introduced to any of this until I started dating my now significant other, Terry, who always had an interest in the paranormal. He would read a lot of books and magazines about UFOs and about different paranormal events. And I slowly but kind of reluctantly started reading them too. So that was my introduction. At first I thought it was very, very strange that he would be interested in any of these things. But and I guess I was always pretty skeptical. I didn't really believe in extraterrestrials. I didn't believe in UFOs. I was pretty sure there was some sort of explanation for those types of events until I had my own experience. And this was something I could have never planned, believe me. So my experience happened in 2012. It was during, I think, a time of great transition personally and I think collectively on the planet. In June 2012, I had an actual extraterrestrial contact experience. It was more of an out-of-body experience, so it happened, I think, while I was asleep, but I was definitely not dreaming. I was in some other alternate reality. I found myself on board a starship and was connected with Arcturians from Arcturus and other star people from other star systems. It felt like I was there for a long time. I think time happens very differently in the alternate realms. They showed me a lot of things through hologram and through telepathy. I guess then, after I had that first, and I also had a second experience in December 2012 on board the same ship, not quite as long of a visit, but I was there interacting with Pleiadians. After that, I noticed I was having a lot of my extrasensory perception just really increased dramatically. I was seeing auras and energy, and I was passing through dimensions quite often. I had an experience where I could read people's thoughts. I kind of shut that down because it was very disturbing what I was hearing from other people. But I was, I mean, it was freaky. It was definitely freaky. A lot of people have very negative thoughts.
Yes.
I started picking up information about people, and I didn't really know where the information was coming from. I was starting to have downloads about galactic events, you know, that happened in the past, like big galactic wars, things like that. Didn't know what the heck I was seeing, so I, you know, started doing my own research. And then I think by happenstance, when I moved to Castle Rock, I moved to Castle Rock back in 2012. I started taking some spiritual classes, and I was encouraged to take Akashic Records reading classes, and that's where I kind of found my groove, you know, my genre or my niche. Ever since then, I've been doing readings professionally. It's been about a few years now. I didn't really start sharing my story until I would say the latter part of 2015, where, you know, I was actually sharing my story in public. So that's kind of what got me started. So I hope that answers your question.
Oh, that does. That's very helpful. You talk about being a historian and picking up these other massive events. Would you categorize them as being in our universe, in our reality, or are they other realities? How do you see that or perceive it?
Oh, that's a good question. Actually, I would say it's alternate. It could be alternate realities. It could be our reality. And that's a really interesting. Dave, I understand you're an Akashic Records reader yourself. So, You know, when you go into the Akashic Records, there's alternate realities that we can also connect with through the records. So that's why I think it was very confusing for me at first, because I was kind of like, well, is this happening now? Is this happening in the past? Is this happening in the future? You know, so, and I think as I did the research, I did extensive research for a while, just on my own, accord. I was finding that there was other people out there that was telling their versions of the same story, other, mm-hmm. Other experiencers, other ET contactees. And so I didn't feel like, okay, I'm just making this up. You know, there's some truth to this. But after a while, when you go into the Akashic Records, you start being able to discern, okay, what's in this current reality and what's in an alternate reality, what's in an alternate universe. I actually see stuff that happens in alternate universes sometimes. I wouldn't say all the time, but sometimes that does happen.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
I just wanted to share that we actually have four Akashic Record readers here all together. So it's like an Akashic Records reunion right now.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wow, you guys are really well stocked with readers. And Jason, I know you do Akashic readings extensively, so I didn't mean to leave you out.
Don't feel left out at all. I think it's super cool that there's four of us in one place. I don't think I've ever actually experienced that unless I'm with students. So it's an amazing opportunity for all of us.
That can only happen in Colorado. Okay. There's something special.
We're on another plane of existence.
Exactly. That where I think we have the most aware people, most awakened people. This is I always kind of jokingly call Colorado starseed Mecca, because there's so many starseeds here, and it's a great place to live. I mean, even with the current events that are occurring right now, I'm still very thankful to be here in Colorado.
Well, I certainly feel good about this state, and we have a lot of wide open space here. I'm very sympathetic to people like in New York City or downtown San Francisco, that everything feels probably very closed in, very close contact, and it's hard to withdraw from that society.
Yeah, I feel that way too. I feel that there's something special about the energy and the vibration here too. And a lot of my clients also feel that, even those that live in other states, you know, everybody always wants to move to Colorado. And I just think there's a very special energy here. And I heard it has something to do with the fact that our environment contains a lot of crystals, especially in the ground. So
yes.
I don't know if there's any truth to that, but I do think that's a reasonable theory, you know. So
if you've been to Discover Your Spiritual Gifts, you know that there's a lot of crystals in Colorado.
Oh, absolutely. That's definitely the case. Yeah, you guys are well stocked. It's like when you walk in through the door of your center, it's like you get blasted with all this energy. You know, so it's it is an amazing place. You know, for those of you that haven't gone yet, you should definitely check it out. You guys are still in downtown Littleton?
We are. We're currently expanding because we were flooded in December. So we've been shut down for repairs, but the construction crews are still working through the process, even in this downtime. So we're actually going to have a bigger storefront than we had before, which is dangerous because Jason's right. If you're looking for crystals, we're the place to go because I love to buy them. Jason loves to help me buy them. So we do have a lot of crystals. So hopefully we'll be back open soon and people can come and shop again.
Yeah, I hope that too. I think there's going to be a lot of changes in the next few months, but hopefully some really positive ones too.
Well, speaking of that, since that's, you know, the gorilla in the room is the coronavirus, are you getting downloads or information from either the Akashic Records or your star contacts on why we're seeing this or precedents for it or things like that?
Not as much as I wished, okay, but and maybe some of that is my own reluctance to look at the information, but a lot of what the messages I have been getting is that this is temporary, that it's a reset, that I think it's forcing us to make some, I think, societal changes that's needed to be made. Not to minimize the seriousness of the issue, because it is a serious problem, but I do get this sense, you know, at least from my Arcturian guides, that a lot of the light workers are going to be protected, and still be able to do our work, you know, regardless of what's happening in, you know, the collective consciousness of Earth right now. There is a lot of fear out there. I felt it myself. I went to Walmart the other day, and I was, you know, just blown away by all the fear that's out there right now. But I think we just need to, you know, hang tight, have faith that, you know, our star families are looking out for us, and, you know, that we have angelic protection and that we can still continue to do our work.
Good, good.
Really?
Well, getting out of that, what are some of the big messages that have come through you or to you for humanity, mankind, our near-term future? You know, where are we going with disclosure, those types of things?
That seems to shift quite dramatically depending on the day or the week. But pretty much overall, I guess what I'm seeing is I'm seeing a lot of people starting to get, I think, really interested in doing ancestral clearing, doing clearings for themselves, having a better understanding of who they are, where they came from, what their journeys were. And so I think there is this kind of this wave of awakening that's occurring, and it's been happening for a few years now, but I'm seeing it really exponentially increasing, you know, throughout the world. And the reason why I say that is I'm getting clients from all over the world. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, some of the places, Israel, Mauritius, Hungary, I mean, Singapore, China. I mean, it's crazy, you know, the awakening that's occurring. I kind of see this being a 15-year process, and I don't really like to give time limitations, because, you know, timelines, as we all know, because, you know, most of us are Akashic readers in this call, that timelines can change quite dramatically. But I'm kind of seeing I do think we're going to have first contact. I think if it doesn't happen this decade, it's definitely going to happen early next decade. I do think the first group that we're going to be in contact with will likely be Alpha Centaurians, because they're the star system that's closest to us, and or humans from the future. Okay, so these will be or human hybrids from the future. So this would be like Esasani, Bashar talks about the Esasani. So I do think that we're going to have contact pretty soon. I think some of this coronavirus process that we're going through right now is going to change our reality to where we will be more prepared to have that kind of contact and become part of the greater galactic family.
Well, I look forward to having full contact. But I understand the psychology of the people, you know, from different vested interest groups, such as traditional churches and things like that. They still have to get comfortable with this. It would be a shock to their system right now to have it happen. And
absolutely. I don't think we're ready yet. I would agree with you there. I do think within, I would say, 15 years, like maybe 2032 or 2035, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot can change between now and then. So we're seeing a lot of changes already. You know, so I guess I'm more of an optimist regarding this than maybe some other people, just because of the type of clients I work with. You know, just amazing, beautiful clients all around the world that are doing big work, and you know, even in, you know, some of the most unawakened areas of the planet, and I that, I guess, gives me hope. I also work with a lot of younger clients, you know, people that I call them third wavers, you know, the people that are here to be system builders, and a lot of these young kids are amazing. I mean, they are coming in with their gifts fully intact, their memories, you know, their soul memories fully intact. They're definitely ready to do the mission. You know, they're ready and they're not going to let society hold them down, you know. So so that gives me a lot of hope, too.
Well, have you been tracking so many hundreds or thousands of images and videos online of spacecraft, ETs, that type of thing, or ET craft, UFOs, just all over the world, hovering, hanging around. What do you get as a download on that? How many of those are really ETs? How many of them are spoofs? And how many are potentially our own domestic spacecraft from the black programs?
Some of it is definitely domestic or terrestrial. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have any, I guess, false thoughts about that. I do know some of it. Usually the triangular ones are the terrestrials. That's reversed engineering. There is, I think, quite a few extraterrestrial starships, but they're not going to look mechanical. A lot of these starships are light ships, and a lot of them tend to, I guess, hide out in clouds, or they might, you know, phase into this dimension and phase out. So you might see it, then it disappears. Some of those look kind of saucer-shaped. I've seen those ones. I've seen the cylindrical-looking ones before. There is, I would say, quite a few extraterrestrial starships keeping an eye on Earth. They do appear in our atmosphere periodically, but quite a few of them they're kind of like hanging out in what I call the Arcturus Antares midway station, which is between the asteroid belt and Jupiter. So, from there, they're keeping an eye on our planet. However, I think they do periodic checks, so, but they're not going to look very fancy. They don't look mechanical at all. So, kind of the light looking ones are more the extraterrestrial ones. These are the higher dimensional ships. A lot of their ships are light ships. They're not physical ships. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah,
that's been
my
observation.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, they seem to have so many.
A lot of the mechanical ones are our ships. It's Earth ships.
Well, they seem to have a lot of special gadgets and tools where they can shift vibration and wink in and wink out of view, too, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to see those a lot, especially when I was still working and commuting down to Colorado Springs. I would see, I wouldn't say on a regular basis, but I would periodically see UFOs, and there was times where I could even telepathically communicate with them, which was very bizarre. I mean, I had that happen a couple of times where there was some sort of telepathic communication occurring. So I knew they were extraterrestrial.
Okay. Very interesting.
Debbie, when you do readings for your clients, what is it that you share with them, and what is the benefit of that information to the person receiving it?
That's a great question, Jason. I love doing Akashic readings. They're my favorite readings. I do other offerings too, but I'm sure Jason, you could probably attest to this as well. You know, the Akashic readings are super popular right now. You know, everybody wants to know more about their past lives, their alternate dimensional lives. But to answer your question, a lot of my clients come to me because they have this sense that they're not from Earth originally, or I get a lot of the star seeds, that's kind of a given with me, but so they get the sense that they're not from Earth originally, that they've been in other star systems. They want somebody to help them remember who they truly are, where they came from, what was their soul journey, why did they decide to come to Earth. I would say these Akashic readings are life-changing, because once somebody receives that information where they remember who they are, where they remember, like, why did I decide to incarnate here? It empowers them. I mean, and then they get a sense of realigning with their highest spiritual purpose, which is, to be of service, right now to this ascension process. So I would say, I think it's life-changing. I think people get a lot out of an Akashic reading. I can't recommend them highly enough, not just because I do them, but regardless if they come to me or they go to Jason or if they go to Violet or Days, you know, any of us, they're going to get a life-changing reading for sure.
Well, I think we're going to pause for a moment here and bring the listeners some information about the store and services that we offer. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Violet Rain, Master and Teacher of Angelic Reiki at Discover Your Spiritual Gifts. If you love angels, if you resonate with angels, or you're just interested in learning more about angels, most people really want to consider Angelic Reiki. But you know, Angelic Reiki is more than just working with the angels and learning a new healing modality. It's about ascension. And when you step into Angelic Reiki, you're not only working with angels, but you're working with ascended masters and galactic healers. The angelic kingdom of light, which includes all of those, steps in and helps you be able to hold more light. And what I have found along this journey is it expands your ability to be able to hold light, which raises your frequency, which accelerates your ascension process. So the individuals that step onto Angelic Reiki are really ready to step onto their spiritual path, learn more about angels, ascended masters, galactic healers, learn possibly a new healing modality that they'll use in their life, but also they're ready for those major shifts in their lives to really be on their spiritual path and take their journey to the next level. If you've been thinking about Angelic Reiki or you'd like to find out more about this beautiful modality, please don't hesitate to contact me, Violet, at discoveryourspiritualgifts.com. Or check out our website under classes. You will find Angelic Reiki there with lots of information about this program and the benefits of taking this course. We hope to see you in class really soon, and I hope to see you at Discover Your Spiritual Gifts.
Welcome back to the Discover Your Spiritual Gifts live show with our guest, Debbie Solaris, and we're going to continue talking about some fascinating topics.
Debbie, you talk a lot about Lemuria and Atlantis. Can you share with us kind of your view on those two civilizations and why they were so important to the planet?
I would love to. Thank you, Violet, and thank you for bringing up that topic. It's one of my favorites, actually. I see Lemuria and Atlantis very prominently in a lot of people's Akashic records. These were kind of the converging points on this planet in order to, I think, establish a certain template. And, you know, I always try to simplify things, you know, because I think sometimes, you know, breaking it down simply helps us to understand things better. But so as far as... you know, the universal source, you know, the source of that we all know, understand as the divine intelligence. There was an initial template that was created in this universe that was this universal source split itself off into mother God consciousness and father God consciousness. This was seen in many different star systems, particularly in Lyra, in Sirius, in Orion especially, in the Pleiades. So a lot of us have been, you know, following the specific template. This template was attempted to be created on planet Earth. Planet Earth was supposed to be an experiment, you know, experiment planet. So Planet Earth was created to be a living library of DNA and genetics from many different star systems that were brought to Earth and cultivated here to see, you know, how we would do if we integrated different DNA from different star systems. So Atlantis and Lemuria was created to be following that Mother God consciousness and Father God consciousness template of, you know, Atlantis representing the Father God consciousness. So more the masculine energy, the, you know, technology, the forward movement energy, and Lemuria representing more the mother God consciousness, which was the more the feminine energy, more contemplative, highly spiritual, low technology, you know, that sort of thing. Unfortunately, this template didn't work well on Earth because we were infiltrated by negative factions from other star systems, particularly in Atlantis. And, you know, I can go into a whole story about that. But the reason why this template is so important for many of my clients is it kind of indicates their soul mission. Okay, most of my Lemurian clients tend to be highly spiritual. They are healers. These are people that follow more of an Eastern philosophy approach to living their lives, you know, to the doing the work that they do. A lot of Atlantean souls, on the other hand, are more technical, and this is kind of a blanket statement. You know, there's, you know, varieties in both, but you know, as a rule, you know, they tend to be more technical, more Father God consciousness, more, you know, corporate business oriented people. A lot of Atlantean souls, and I know Edgar Cayce talked about this, you know, early last century, about Atlantean souls. A lot of Atlantean souls are currently incarnated in, I would say, first world countries, particularly United States and Canada, because they're here to, they had to choose a civilization that was most similar to Atlantis in order to, I think, close out some of the karma that was created when they were in their Atlantean lives. So you see a lot of, I think, more predominantly Atlantean souls in the United States than Lemurian. We do have quite a few Lemurian souls still interspersed in the United States. So, and I being one of them, you know, I'm more of a Lemurian soul. So I guess to answer your question, it kind of indicates what that person's soul mission is and kind of maybe even some of the soul experiences that they had.
Thank you.
That was
awesome. I love it. Yeah, go ahead, Jason.
Can we extend our show another hour today? This is absolutely
fascinating. Actually, my schedule did clear up, but yeah, I do have an appointment at 12.
that was
we could talk about this for a long time. Yeah, no, that's why I'm trying to keep
completely selfish
I
request.
Talk about it forever. Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to get Debbie eventually to come up and teach a class on Lemurian Atlantis because it is kind of one of her areas of expertise, and I would love to have her come and do a class because I love listening to her perspective on both of those. She has videos on her website that I have devoured on these two civilizations, so I love the perspective. So thanks for always sharing that out there.
No, no, thank
I really
you
do
for
enjoy.
Allowing me the platform to do that. And I would love to come and teach a show. I'm wrapping up or dealing with some health issues at the moment, but I'm hoping by summer that I'll be well on my way to feeling better. And I'd love to come back and teach a class locally, and maybe we can even figure out a way to offer it online. That would be awesome.
Yep, absolutely. Would love to have you. You know, the other expertise that you have that I think not a lot of our listeners has is the different starseed groups, because you talk about Arcturians and all of these, and most people don't have a good understanding of who that is, and there's not a lot of information out there that people can go find. So for somebody that's new, that's really just brand new, thinking about galactic and star seeds, you know, what information can you give us to give us kind of a perspective of the different races or groups, or where can we go find more information on that?
There's several sources. I just recently expanded my website to include a big galactic history section. That took several months of work. It was quite a process to get that information together, but I had a very talented web designer helped me kind of format it in a way that, you know, people can just go and read up about Syrians or Arcturians or Ontarians or whatever. And it's all on my website. If you go on my main page, you should be able to access that section fairly easily in various ways on, through the navigation process. And that's one way people can get pretty good information. The other way is on my YouTube channel. If you just look up Debbie Solaris, you'll find me on YouTube. There's they're mainly audio recordings of readings that have been converted to video. So these are actual client readings. But there's a lot of galactic history that comes through in all of these recordings. And I guess, Violet, you've listened to a lot of those. So so a lot of people just like listening to them because they like the information, you know. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
I do love listening to them. I love it when you post a new one. So I love going out and listening to those. How do you choose which ones you record and turn to videos and which ones you don't? Is it based on the information that you get in the reading or the person? Or how do you make those choices?
That's a great question. I record all my sessions. So I have like a whole Dropbox library of hundreds of recordings, but the one that I choose is based on usually if there's some interesting information about a new star race or something that maybe we haven't heard about before. A lot of times it could be just a client's personality. You know, they just have this engaging personality, or there's something about their story that I think is relatable for other people. So if it's something that I think other people can benefit from, then I'll go ahead and create a video of it. Another way can also get good information. There's a lot of bad information out on the internet, so I don't like directing people to the internet, but there are some good books. I'm trying to get a library list of really good books that, you know, people can go to that will give them at least, you know, part of the story, if not all of the story. But eventually I am going to be writing a book because I kind of feel like that's my calling at this point, because there is so much bad information out there. But some of the good books is The Prism of Lyra by Lyssa Royale Holt. That's an excellent, she did a very excellent job of kind of, concisely telling the story of Lyra and how it influenced all these other star systems. Another good book is The Starborn by Solara. She has more of a spiritual perspective on galactic history, but it's also, and she wrote that 20 years ago, so it's still, I think, valid today. There's, you know, various sources, but I think at some point I'm going to just put together a list and maybe stick it on my website or something so people can have that resource.
I would love that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That would be awesome.
That helps. But yeah, they can definitely go on the Galactic History section of my site. There's a lot, we did a lot of research, and we kind of tried to make it as concise as possible because nobody wants to be reading pages of stuff online, but it's a good, concise way to get some really good information.
Well, let's go ahead and give your website and your other contact points. So your website is Debbie, Debbie, Solaris, Solaris.com, correct?
That's correct. If you go on YouTube, just do a search on Debbie Solaris, then you'll find me right away. I think I'm the only one that with that name. I'm also on Instagram. I have a Facebook page. On Facebook, you'll have to do a search on Galactic Star Guide, and then you'll find my business page on Facebook. Instagram, I'm Debbie Solaris. My email address is debbie@debbiesolaris.com, just like it sounds, all lowercase. So I'm pretty easy to find.
Well, since people contact you directly, what are some of the more interesting or way out there contacts that you've had from people on their experiences? What has shown up recently?
Good question. I'm getting a lot of people that are remembering dreams or contact experiences, maybe even from childhood. It's like they didn't remember for a long time, and now all of a sudden they're remembering that they were visited by some extraterrestrial being when they were 5 years old in their bedroom, you know, that sort of thing. I'm getting a lot of that. I'm also getting clients that are just having memories of past lives that they're pretty sure is not on Earth. You know, they just kind of have that feeling that, oh, this is not Earth. Yeah, this is definitely not Earth. Not sure what this is about. Maybe I need to go talk to Debbie, you know. So, so it's really a lot of fun, you know, helping them to, I guess, put back together the pieces of their memories. It's kind of like, I kind of jokingly call Akashic readers, we're kind of like memory jockeys, you know, we help people to, you know, to remember, what their past lives were, and we're actually kind of hijacking their memories for a while, because, you know, we're going in there and you know, into the records, and it's like, oh, we're seeing stuff about them, And then we're sharing it with them, and then they're like, yeah, that sound, that resonates, you know, that sounds like that fits me. The other thing I see too is personality traits of people that are related to the star system that they came from. So Pleiadian starseeds have a certain personality opposed to Sirian starseeds. You know, and Arcturian starseeds. So you see these personality quirks. And I do love to share that with people, because I think it makes these star systems very relatable for them. It's like, oh, they're not some weird extraterrestrial thing. They're all part of us. They're like, they're our family. They're people that, you know, these extraterrestrial beings are just like us. You know, they have different personalities. They, you know, have their different experiences. They go through their ups and downs, you know, just like we do here on Earth. So, Akashic readings are, I always see some very strange, I mean, I've actually did readings recently for people that felt very much like they were dragons in past lives. I've had that. So I do get some draconians that connect with me and want to know more. So it's not just the benevolent races. You know, sometimes it could be, people from some very out there star systems.
Well, one of the other things I've run into over the past 2 years, I've had several sets of parents approach me. Their adult children who they're caring for they have a lot of behavioral problems. They may be OCD. They may have other antisocial behaviors, and you start digging in and you find out, wow, your kid, this is a relatively new experience being here on Earth. They don't have background material in their subconscious from other lifetimes on Earth to rely on what are the norms here and what are the expected behaviors. And in a few cases,
Sirius B is a common one with kids that have Asperger's or sometimes Arcturus. Some Arcturian souls, especially if they haven't had prior incarnations on Earth, have a really hard time integrating into Earth for some reason. Sirius B comes up a lot. Some people with non-human genetics. So there's some people that maybe they weren't human in past lives. You know, they were maybe had amphibian genetics or maybe avian, or I don't know. I see all kinds of different combinations. So, and I'm sure you've seen that too, Dave. So, mm-hmm. So that comes up quite a bit too for me. I had one client who was experiencing extreme anxiety. He was a young man. I mean, his anxiety was so extreme, he would throw up five times a day. And his mother took him to see me. She was local here in Denver. And we discovered that he was Arcturian in origin, and this was his first life on Earth. And he was separated from, this was his first time being separated from the Arcturian collective, so it was definitely freaking him out, you know. I mean, it was, you know, once he understood that he was Arcturian and that it was, you know, obviously normal for him to feel this anxiety, his mother reported back that his anxiety went down quite a bit. He was no longer throwing up. He wasn't having these panic attacks like he used to have, and that he was starting to really, I think, settle into, you know, human life and life on Earth. So, like I said, these readings can be very life-changing.
Oh, absolutely. Well, one of the other techniques I found, I stumbled on, is one of the things I look at, people can have this thing called an imprint in their subconscious, which is a data copy of somebody else's life out of the Akashic Records. And we can carry very beneficial ones where we each may have a copy of Julius Caesar or Cleopatra or Ben Franklin or something that we can tap into. And I followed up on that with a couple of these young people who are having a lot of difficulties, and I asked a family for names of family members who had passed who were upright people, morally strong, had a good, healthy viewpoint, and I got permission to create imprints from their lives and installed them in the kids, and the kids' behaviors improved remarkably. So that's something I'm still continuing to pursue and figure out how to do that more efficiently.
Yeah, no, that's very fascinating. I call those archetypes. Like, there's certain people that attach to certain archetypal templates. Because I get some clients that really relate to Joan of Arc or to, I don't know, various. One lady was very connected to Clara Barton, who I think was a famous nurse, you know.
Right.
And it may not necessarily be that they've had an incarnation as that person, but they have an imprint, like you said, of that archetype. So, yeah, very fascinating. You can definitely dig deep with Akashic readings. Another thing it does is it helps to repair relationships, especially between, you know, spouse, you know, marriage, you know, wedding, excuse me, I'm sorry, you know, people that are married, or people that are considering marriage, or people that are just dating. The twin flame thing question, I get that a lot, actually, the twin flame.
Yes.
Yeah, you probably do too. Everybody wants to find their twin flame, you know. So.
A little problem there is, just because you're twin flames doesn't mean that you're going to get together and be happy and live happily ever after. It may not work.
Oh, exactly. That's what I always tell my clients. I said, this may be just a relationship that you're having in order to help activate you on your spiritual path, or maybe help you to make some needed changes in your life, but it may not necessarily mean that you're going to get married and live happily ever after, you know. So twin flame relationships actually in the third dimension are very difficult. I mean, it's extremely difficult to I think, to be connected with somebody that's kind of like a mirror image of yourself, you know. So me personally, I'd rather have a soulmate relationship where you're connected with a soul that you may be known in a past life or had a relationship with, but isn't your twin flame. So I'm not a big fan of the twin flame thing myself, but I always try to tell people, you know what, you know, don't be so enamored of the twin flame. It's a hard, very difficult relationship. A lot of ups and downs.
Well, you mentioned when we were talking before the show that you have a taping coming up that sounds very fascinating. Tell us about that.
I'd be happy to do that. It's actually going to be my biggest show yet. I'm very excited to be invited to be a guest on this show. So I do a lot of readings for people here in Colorado, and I've done a lot of readings for people at Gaia, Gaia.com They're a big media company out of Boulder, just south of Boulder, Colorado. And I guess through those connections, I was invited to be a guest on the I am going to be an upcoming guest on the Beyond Belief show with George Newry. The taping's going to happen in May. I'm not sure when the actual show is going to air, but I've been a fan of George Newry for many, many years, you know, so even before I became awakened. And I, and this was kind of like a bucket list thing for me to be on his show. So I'm really excited. So I hope that people will tune in when the show airs and watch that. So I'll keep that postings on my website. So if you subscribe to my website, you'll definitely get more information.
That sounds cool. Yeah, it's the timing on that is wonderful, and I hope people can find you on there and enjoy you as much as we're enjoying you here on this show. That's great.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun. I love answering these questions. So yeah, just keep asking the questions, I'll answer them. You know, so it's been
I'll certainly go to your website and catch up there.
Absolutely. Yeah. People can just if you want to find me on either on YouTube or even on the internet, you can just look up Debbie Solaris. You'll find me.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on Discover Your Spiritual Gifts Live with us today with Violet and Jason and myself. It's been a lot of fun talking to you and hearing about all the wonderful things you've done and that you're continuing to do. That sounds very wonderful. So,
yeah, thank you. And there's going to be more to come, in the near future. So I do hope to offer some online classes. I get a lot of requests for galactic history, galactic Akashic reading classes. So I hope to develop that in the near future. So I'll keep you all posted. Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you guys for having me. It's been great fun, and it's been wonderful connecting with all of you again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Debbie.
Thank you, Debbie. I really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you soon and get to feeling better so we can have you up to do some classes.
I look forward to that, Violet. I'll be in contact soon.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, to all of our listeners, thanks again for listening to us and for coming to see us at Discover Your Spiritual Gifts. Our next guest is going to be Melinda Carver. And we're going to have some messages from some of our practitioners at DYSG, so please listen to those. They have fascinating stories and information. We'll see you next time. Take care.
I am Deborah Peter. I am a cranial sacral therapist. I had a career in accounting and finance for 20 years and had an opportunity to change pathways and decided to pursue a career in massage therapy because I was fascinated with the body. And that career in massage therapy then led me to cranial sacral therapy. Cranial sacral therapy is a body work modality that works with the nervous system and is beneficial for anything that the nervous system plays a part in. That includes trauma, any tension patterns in the body that are being held by the muscles or the fascia, headaches, chronic pain, or any pain that the medical community has not been able to find a reason for. So basically anything that the nervous system has a part in. A session is often generally 60 to 90 minutes long. The person relaxes on a massage table, fully clothed. The session can sometimes involve dialoguing, or the person is just able to go into a deeply relaxed state. The therapist, myself, looks for tension patterns and feels for tension patterns in the body and looks to help the body release those tension patterns. In this world, we're often in a state of fight or flight, and this work helps bring the body down into more of a rest and digest space, which is really where healing happens. Because the body has its own way of healing, and I'm there to support the person in their process of releasing restrictions and tension patterns and emotions that are often held in the body and limiting their ability to fully engage in the world. I'm available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. I have offices in Englewood as well as Littleton here at Discover Your Spiritual Gifts. If you'd like to schedule an appointment, you can reach me at my website at harmonyridgemassage.com, or you can give me a call at 303-725-5800. I also offer a 20-minute free consultation over the phone if anybody's interested in more information or to find out if cranial sacral therapy could help them with anything that they're dealing with. I look forward to working with you.
Hi, I'm Nikki Milton. I am the center manager and marketing manager here at Discover Your Spiritual Gifts. I'm here 2 days a week on Mondays and Fridays, marketing this beautiful center and making sure that the center is up to standard for all the lovely guests who will hopefully come and visit us soon. I also own a content marketing agency, so I'm a teacher here in the space because I have a real passion for helping the spiritual business owners in this community learn how to brand and market their businesses. So I run a business class series every year on branding and marketing and social media classes, as well as a full strategy workshop towards the end of the year to help you get your business in line for the upcoming year. And that is what I do here at Discover Your Spiritual Gifts.
Hi, I'm Rochelle Kemper. I am a Restoration Master Healer. I work through people's energy grid as I see it. I call it grid working. And I also work with Mother Gaia and the ley lines of the earth, but I also see that and can translate it around somebody's energy body. I got into this through working with another teacher that was showing us to look around a body or an energy body, and I realized that I could see colors. And so when I pinpointed the color, then she made me trace it all the way back. She said, you have to trace it all the way back to the origin. And once I did that, I realized that I could see around people in what looks like an Excel grid sheet. And we get things stuck in that grid sheet, or we get formulas that are blown. And I help people restore those grids through different energies. It could be dragon energy, archangel energy, colors, flowers, all sorts of, everybody works with something different. And I help bring those through to restore your grids. You can find me at Discover Your Spiritual Gifts in historic downtown Littleton. I work at this center on Wednesdays and Thursdays between 10 and 5.
Discover connection. Awaken sacredness. Become empowered. Join us for our show on Blog Talk Radio.